All right. Okay, welcome back. I think I'm on the air. I think this is broadcasting on our... I guess we are on the air, and we are streaming live. We're not going to tell you every time that we are, just because we want to avoid the mental throwing of nasty things that you do when you know who's going to be on the air and you don't like it. To be honest with you, I'm just tired of the equipment meltdown and everything else. Today, no exception to the kinds of shows that we're bringing you one after another after another. Last time you heard Duncan O'Finian, Mind Control Soldier, Killer, who still has an alter personality, who's still in a sense, but he's coming into freedom. And now we have Greg Hallett, who's written... three books: How to Take Over the World, A Right Royal Con, Stalin's British Training, Pedophiles at War, and the original, what got him into all the trouble he's in right now, is Hitler Was a British Agent. And apparently we've seen an article in the paper down in New Zealand, where Greg is from, where it's in the Truth magazine. Greg got front page. Sex, death, spying, allegations. This Kiwi, Kiwi is a term for those people from New Zealand. And it says Kiwi's book claims, and it has a pictures here of all these prominent people, including the PM of New Zealand, a Ms. Helen Clark, smeared. There's even a picture of Mickey Mouse there. It's kind of tongue-in-cheek, but it's kind of heavy in a way. So let me go ahead and bring Greg here. Greg, are you there?
Yeah, how are you? Hello from down under.
Yeah, hello from up here, down here, wherever we are. I'm not sure. I think you're up and we're down as far today. You're ahead, we're behind. You're already into the next day. Good morning to you. Good Thursday morning to you.
Yes, it is. We're a day ahead. We'll let you know what's happening.
That's right. So Thursday, we're still around, I guess. I take it that where we're going, you've been, and it's okay.
Yeah, it's okay for the next 12 hours.
At least. All right. So here what we have is we have a situation where you're publishing these books, and you've been very prolific. This is public knowledge. Greg is an architect in New Zealand, and I just wonder, after reading this article in the Truth magazine, where you got the front page all dedicated to you, and I wonder how that architectural job is going. You know, what do they say to you?
I had a... I get interfered with by the courts quite a bit, and they routinely find the evidence for me and then make the final judgment against me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been going now for 13 years since I first exposed the head of the disputes tribunal as a drug user in a disputes tribunal hearing in January 1994. And since then, I haven't been able to have any of my evidence heard in court.
Right. Okay. So the reason...
Which has cost me hundreds of thousands of dollars in three houses.
Because you can't hear your evidence in court, so they're coming against you on the information, or how is it that they're coming against you? Is it...
Well, it's got a rigged outcome right at the beginning, so no matter what you present, the outcome is going to be against you. So we have a rigged judicial system in New Zealand, and it is absolutely rife with corruption. It's basically a pedophile and crime creation movement, the New Zealand judiciary.
Okay, so they're, you know, pedophiles at war, pedophiles in New Zealand, pedophiles in charge, pedophiles in the United States, pedophilia, mind control, all these operations, creating Stalin, creating Hitler, British mind control programs, Tavistock Institute, all of this that we've talked about before is what makes up our world, more or less.
Yeah, the world is run on shame, and if you've got a new world order that wants to control everything, the people who promote it have shame in their history, and pedophilia provides the greatest amount of shame, as does such things as drug dealing when you're the Minister of Health and then become the Minister of Police, like Annette King.
Okay, so basically you have criminality and criminal syndicates then that will do drug dealing, weapons, wars, all that stuff. You can actually be rewarded if you join them, but if you fight them, how long have you been fighting them?
At least 13 years.
Okay.
At least 13 years, yeah. And the repercussions are absolutely enormous. Like, they took my child off me for 7 years, have taken 3 houses and 2 sections off me, taken my driver's license off me twice, they've trumped up 28 charges, and they've all disappeared. And the interesting thing about court is that when I go to court and represent myself, I tend to win, and when I go and get represented by a lawyer, I tend to lose.
But what are the cases about, usually? Because they're
There are all sorts of cases, like battling for custody, trying to win an architectural fee, trying to show that the, in the case of Constable James Matafino-Casson, that my driver's license was taken off me when I was driving safely, under the speed limit, and sober, and that he had 2 convictions for assault prior to entering the police force. And the reason why I was being attacked was because I was giving a speech in the Cook Islands the day before, and I had exposed Helen Clark as a KGB agent.
Right, and that's what it says here on the cover of this the Truth magazine. It says that Helen Clark is a KGB agent. And that it's sort of a pedophile and network, and it's all tied in with, obviously, your claim that Chief Justice Dame Sian Sean
Elias,
several MPs, including Police Minister Arnett King and Speaker of the House Margaret Wilson, and media stars Paul Holmes and Anita McNaught, and these people are, I guess,
all involved in massive corruption. Absolutely massive corruption. Now, Anita McNaught is bisexual, largely a lesbian. She's the BBC TV presenter. And she had an affair with the Prime Minister, before she was Prime Minister, Helen Clark, in January, February 1993 and at other times.
Now, can that be corroborated or...
Oh, yeah, that has been corroborated. I've actually got a note there which I put in right at the end saying confirmed by intelligence. So it's well known that Anita McNaught is a lesbian, and it's well known in New Zealand that Helen Clark is a lesbian, and it's well known that Helen Clark is in an arranged marriage to a homosexual child sex abuser. So if you've got...
Wow.
See, Helen Clark is Prime Minister, so because the world's run on shame... If the most shamed person becomes Prime Minister. So Helen Clark is a lesbian in an arranged marriage to a homosexual child sex abuser. She's a KGB agent, and she worked with Vladimir Putin to try and launch a nuclear strike on Taupo, which is a small city in the middle of the North Island of New Zealand. And the reason that Taupo was on the on Russia's nuclear attack hit list is because the Wairaki Geothermal Power Station in Taupo was owned by the British Atomic Energy Commission, and it was producing all the heavy water for the Western world from 1961 to 1972.
Right.
A little bit after. And also the CIA had the Porinui Stud down there in Taupo, and the New Zealand SIS moved their listening device to the Flying Fishing Club in Taupo.
Okay.
Taupo was a strong nuclear strike zone for Russia, and Vladimir Putin lived in Wellington between 1980 and 1982, mm-hmm. and he was a fisheries inspector down here, and he was running the trawler wars. And the trawler wars were Russian and American fishing trawlers and submarines following each other around New Zealand, and the satellites weren't working correctly, so the Russian fishing trawlers were dropping markers in the sea,
mm-hmm.
and then taking accurate bearings of those markers and triangulating them so they would have an accurate position from which to launch a nuclear strike. And then the American fishing trawlers were sending in divers after and moving those markers. And then that went on for from 1980 to 1986 until the sinking of the Lermontov, which was a Russian cruise ship that was actually an intelligence vessel.
Okay. There's been Russian involvement, KGB involvement in the area, in New Zealand. Apparently New Zealand is just a front. It's not what it appeared to be as a country anyway.
New Zealand is a pedophile movement fronting as a country.
Okay. We've said that quite a bit. And in fact, I've added the United States to that list, France, yeah. England. In fact, I've added most countries in the world making that very same statement. And yeah. Unfortunately, what is it about, Greg, let me ask you this. What is it about children that is so important? Yeah. Why are children... And if the worst crime that you can do, like, for example, if a child molester goes to prison here in the United States, the first thing that happens, they have to be separated from the general population, because the general population will rip their guts out if they know there's a pedophile amongst them. Did you know that?
Oh, it's pretty much the same here, yeah.
I mean, that's like the worst thing you can do. And if there's two things that will get you killed in prison here, being a cop, one, you know, obviously, and being a pedophile. Those are the two things that will get, you know, or being an ex-guard, and now you're in prison, you know, whatever. And these are the people that need to actually be separated from the general population, because the hatred against pedophilia and the outrage against that crime in this country, for example, in America at least, is so powerful that it will get you killed. That's what it's thought about. And every once in a while, the errant pervert will go to prison. A pervert over here, a pervert over there. America does not suspect for 1 minute, and neither does the world for 1 minute, that everything is based on pedophilia. They don't think that. Is that the way it is?
Well, the reason why pedophiles get killed in prison is because so many prison inmates are the victims of pedophilia.
Correct.
Pedophilia causes schizophrenia, and a very high percentage of the people in prison are schizophrenic. Like, they commit a crime and then deny they've done it.
They deny they've become sociopathic, and probably the sociopathic or the lack of guilt problem is maybe born by pedophilia. I think they've done studies on that.
Yeah, an incredibly high proportion, like about 90% of the gang members in New Zealand, are schizophrenic, and a large portion of those are victims of pedophilia. So when a pedophile goes to prison, that's the type of person who has caused these other people to go to prison.
Mm-hmm.
So they get their guts ripped out, to quote you. Yeah.
Yeah, they get stomped into the ground unless they can be separated from the general population. And unfortunately, in this country, most of them that go, they know that about them, so they do separate them, and they do their time separately in more of a isolationist, you know, not blending in with other people, but being separate from the general population, so they can do their time and then be, as they say, rehabilitated, which I'm not sure that happens.
No. The other way that pedophiles go is into Parliament.
Parliament.
The pedophiles know that in New Zealand, as soon as a pedophile becomes an MP, the police refuse to charge an MP. which means that MPs can get away with any crime that they want, including paedophilia. Now, one of New Zealand's, well, actually New Zealand's longest-serving MP was a man called Jonathan Hunt. Mm-hmm. And he served from 1964 as an MP, and he was a homosexual and a paedophile. And then he was promoted to Speaker of the House. And then in September 2004, US Customs sent a list of 75 paedophiles in New Zealand to the New Zealand government, and specifically to the SIS. And the minister of the SIS was Prime Minister Helen Clark, the lesbian married to the homosexual child sex abuser.
But it seems like, according to what you're saying, you have to have those as credentials. In other words, if you're not a pedophile, homosexual, Satanist, obviously,
yeah,
then you're not going to fit to be in the club, because in the club you have to be a homosexual, pedophile, Satanist in order to be part of the world system, or part of the world system that rules over the world.
Yeah, well, the ruling party in New Zealand at the moment is the Labour Party, and 75% of the Labour Party are not heterosexual. They're either lesbians, homosexuals, transsexuals, child sex abusers, pedophiles, cross-dressers.
So do you believe...
75%, the other 25%, they are completely left on the outer. Like, they don't know what's going on in the party. Like, you go up and you talk to them, you meet them at the petrol station or whatever, you bump into them, you say, yeah, how's it going? And they go, I don't know, I'm on the outer, I never get informed of anything.
So they form the kind of outer circle that, in a sense, protects the inner circle.
Well, they're just used as a heterosexual front during election time.
The
inner circle of New Zealand is definitely of the New Zealand government is definitely into the occult, and it's definitely a pedophile minding government.
Well, I would
do absolutely anything to protect pedophiles.
Right, I was told when I was a child that you have to become a Satanist and homosexual, you know, even if it's in secret, but with the right people in order to get in the club, or you're not going to, you know, you won't be initiated in, you'll be left outside. So let me ask you this.
That's pretty accurate.
And what as a child, what I did is I said, you know, in no uncertain terms, I said, fuck you to these people, and they threw me in a mental hospital.
Yeah.
That's basically, and they said I was crazy because I thought everything was Satanist everywhere.
Yeah, what they try and do is they try and build up either a mental health record on you or a police record on you. And if
right.
the mental health record fails, like you are proven too many times to be sane, they'll try engineering a criminal record on you.
Well, it's too late now. Obviously, you know, I survived all that, but there was also murder attempts. And many attempts on my life, and I said, you know, why are you doing this? Well, you because you said no. That's why. So you see, there's a lot of pressure on these people if you're born into a certain segment of society where it's expected you will go off to a little prep school, and then from prep school you'll go to college. From college you'll get into the right fraternity. From there you're going to get into the right law school. From the right law school you're going to go into the right situation, and you're going to do the bidding of the criminal establishment or the criminal syndicate that you work for. And if you don't consent to this stuff as a child, all that's off the table. You're not going to go anywhere.
That's pretty much it, yeah. The least valued thing.
That's American. I'm telling you about American society, though, Greg. That's America.
It's pretty much the same here, but the... least valued thing in the world now is high moral fiber.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not that I had high moral fiber. It's when someone says, you have to, that I bought. That was the issue with me. You have to do this. And I'm like, no, I don't have to do this.
See, another version is that the word respectable means pedophile minder. And as long as you protect pedophiles, you're respectable. As soon as you expose pedophiles, you are no longer respectable, and you are on the outer.
Well, I was aware, as a child, I will just tell you this. I witnessed that the entire system was pedophilia. As a child, I witnessed it. I testified about it myself. But what they want is they want the child to consent so the child will keep quiet. That's very important. And once the child agrees to service the adults, then after that, and I'm talking about society here. I'm not talking about a little bit of people over here, a few people over there. I'm talking about society, the same society that gives you your political leaders. You know, I'm talking about the establishment, okay? If you will agree to servicing the adults as a child, you will go far. You will advance very quickly.
Yeah. Yep.
So the children must agree. If the child balks at it or fights it, if that's the network, because it's criminal conspiracy you're talking about, that child will be killed to keep the secret.
Ultimate occult stuff is having sex with a child and then killing it. And that's always a dilemma with pedophiles, and that's why they're so advanced in psychology. Like, if you want to study advanced psychology, you learn off a pedophile because they've been given all the secrets.
Right. Okay, so part of this goes then to mind control. How is it that our society, and also, you know, I'm talking about Hollywood. In Hollywood, when you have a child star is born, they've had sex with everyone in Hollywood, all the important people. The parents typically sell the child into a kind of bondage. In exchange, they make money off the child when the child appears in movies or television.
It can be said that it has been said that Charlie Chaplin provided the respectable face to child sex abuse in Hollywood.
Right.
Because he was dating girls when they were 15 and taking them out on his yacht and then marrying them as soon as they turned 16.
Well, that's now considered to be okay. In other words, it's the next step here in America, Greg, I believe, will be the Man-Boy Association making it okay for Man-Boy Love Association, rather, making it all right for, 13, 12, and 13-year-olds to be courting, 50-year-old men.
Well, the fact that they exist is an indictment on the U.S. government.
Right, and the government allows it to go on. So actually, I'll say this, Greg, about America. In America, it's being promoted heavily. The pedophilia and homosexuality and pedophilia, make no mistake about it, they go hand in hand. They say,
it's the Israeli agenda. Israel occupies both extreme ends of the agenda. One is extreme liberalism, which includes mm-hmm. all forms of homosexuality, child sex abuse and pedophilia and porn and drugs, so big on the control of the ecstasy market. And the other end of the political spectrum is war, ongoing wars, continual wars, and mm-hmm. Invasions of countries in order to rape their resources, especially oil.
Right.
And all the evidence is manufactured for America to take over whatever country is next. In order to take over their oil supply, because America's biggest fear is that it runs out of oil.
And that will put us, we believe that America will go up against the Chinese will probably attack America at some point over the very same issue, food and oil, ultimately. But that's a bed that we've made that we're going to have to lie in, because nobody in this country, and I can just say this with complete authority, nobody in this country seems to want to stand up, or very few. I'd say you have a few people on the internet broadcasting and internet blogging that are saying true things, but not enough to make it a social change. So my prediction is America goes down the tubes very soon. Already, in fact,
Greg, America is under admiralty law.
Right, it's already down the tubes as far as I'm concerned. I mean, there really is no America like people think in their mind. It's really just a business arrangement. People go to work, they go home, they pass out in front of the TV. That's about all they do here.
Yep, that is total mind control and total slavery.
Right.
It is tax slavery.
It's been achieved already. I don't know what some of these people keep talking about. They want to enslave you. I'm sorry, fellow broadcasters out there. They've already done that. What's next? Next, let's look at the next thing. When do we all die?
A huge number of radio broadcasters in the mainstream media are sexually compromised.
Oh, of course.
So they might develop a line of thinking, and then they'll be told, hang on a minute, you've got to stop that line of thinking, and then 6 months later they'll go exactly against it. And you'll find that radio announcers will talk against a certain government, and then when it comes to the election, they'll retract everything they've said.
Well, there is a we have a performer here, Rosie O'Donnell, a comedian, who is an admitted lesbian. I don't hold that against her. I'll just say that right now. I don't hold, you know, if someone has a sexual issue or they're a sinner in some respect, I don't hold it against them. What I hold, what my problem is when they say, you have to, that's when I have a problem. But before that, hey, look, you know, some people drink too much, some people do drugs. People have problems. Wouldn't you agree, Greg, there's a difference between the average sinner who may be in sexual sin as well and somebody that's in the system? It seems like these are two different things. Right or wrong?
There's a huge overlap there. Huge overlap.
Okay. Okay.
Like when, I think it was the Speaker of the House of Parliament, was it Newt? Was it,
Newt?
How does sending emails to young male interns, suggestive sexual emails?
Mm-hmm.
And he was canned. And that was just the tip of the iceberg. And
that was oh gosh, I forget his name now. Oh boy, we did a report on him. Darn it, just can't remember. Mark, someone's going to email me with the name. And he was dismissed. Obviously, just for you know, steamy emails. So what you're saying is, if someone is in that lifestyle, they have a good chance of advancing then in society.
Well, he got advanced to that position on the basis of his interest in young boys.
Okay.
And then when there's a huge amount of pressure on the current U.S. government.
Mark Foley. I'm sorry.
Mark Foley.
Mark Foley.
When there's a huge amount of pressure on the U.S. government because of their involvement in homosexuality and using rent boys, etc., then Mark Foley was the fall guy. So it was one fall guy. So that was just the tip of the iceberg.
In the homosexual evangelical church that... they preach against homosexuality every week and point their fingers at homosexuals. And then we have Ted Haggard being outed for having a hot and steamy homosexual tryst going on with crystal methamphetamine as a big part of it, which is a big drug in the homosexual community, because it enhances sex, enhances orgasm, enhances psychosis, actually. So I don't know why people like it, but apparently it enhances the sexual aspect. So here we had Ted Haggard, who was the president of the Evangelical Christian Association in America, a very powerful lobby that got George Bush elected, by the way. And and this guy goes down, and I tell people, this was the tip of the, they go, oh, you're being so judgmental on Ted. It's like, no, he's just the tip of the iceberg. They're not being true. They're all like that. All. Yeah. Because that's the system. So, Greg, what we're talking about is a system that's worldwide. Worldwide.
Methamphetamine was introduced into New Zealand in 1992 via the Papakura police.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a police-introduced drug in New Zealand, and the idea is that they were introducing a violent drug in order to increase the police rights over citizens and to arm the police. So the police are now armed, and they now wear bulletproof jackets. And they are known to shoot people dead in the head without reason, without cause, and then not be charged.
Mm-hmm. I predict that will get worse. And
it's just shocking. And the judges always cover for the police. So that what the police do is they know that they can create crime with complete immunity, and that they can fabricate evidence. And the police are verbal in court. It's called verballing, which is fabricating evidence and telling outrageous lies and outright lies, but saying them in such a way and with such authority and having other people back them up, mm-hmm. that it appears to the judge to be true. And they use judges who are stitch-up judges who work with the police in police informant scheme cases and police stitch-up cases. And we've got a Judge Gittos in New Zealand who specializes in police informant scheme and police stitch-up cases. so he always finds all the police.
Well,
the police in New Zealand are known to create 80% of all crime. The police in New Zealand create 80% of all crime, and they solve 40% of all crime. And the 40% of crime that they solve includes traffic tickets and drugs.
Right.
So, you know, the larger crimes that they're creating, which is the leftover 40% of crime, the police just create. And 40% of the people in prison, it's between 33% and 40% of the people in prison, are there for crimes they did not commit. And it also means that the police, what the police do is they target people with and frame them for years and years and years on end. And then when the police commit a crime, or one of their secret society insiders commits a crime like a Freemason, then they look at their records of who they can convict on the basis of a whole lot of previous accusations that have failed. And they stitch them up, plant evidence on them, and put them in prison. So we've got 40% of the people in prison are there for crimes they didn't commit. It's called bottom feeding.
Right, and here we have the same thing, a growing number of people in prison, which I suppose are going to have to lock everyone up in prison that isn't part of the pedophile network eventually.
Well, that's pretty much what's happening, is that people are in prison, and then there's a whole lot of people who are imprisoned by their mortgages. So they go to work, and they come home, and they watch TV, and they go to sleep, and they go to work, and then they pay their taxes, and they pay their mortgage.
A lot of people just use the weekend to recover from all the stress they've had during the week. That's all they do, is sit there and, you know, and recover. That's a form of slavery as well. They don't have time to really enjoy life. They don't have the energy, once the work week is completed, to go do anything. They're just sitting there recovering from all the abuse they took.
Yeah, that's what postcards are for.
So they're under a form of house arrest already. And if they would just give in and just join the party, they'd probably get a raise. And life would get a lot easier.
The most corrupt people get promoted, because those corrupt people are shamed, and therefore they can be controlled by the New World Order.
Okay.
And it
looks to me like this New World Order is not only already here, but that now it's time for the squeeze. In other words, it's time to...
One of the squeezes is the global warming hoax.
Okay, let's talk about that. They're going to try to induce it, even if it's not a reality.
Yeah, what they're trying to do now is to tax the environment. So anyone who's got anything to do with the environment is taxed, and then those taxes, if you produce oxygen, and then you have tax credits. And what's happening in New Zealand is the government is trying to own all the tax credits and then sell them off overseas. But the tax credits will probably end up being on the stock market. The whole global warming thing is a hoax.
No, it's like, okay, I want to go into business. I better go on the market, get some tax credits, and even though I'm going to stink the whole place up, I got these credits to offset everything. And, oh, no, I got some tax credits, but my credits have gone up in value. Look at that. I think I'll go ahead and trade them, make $1 billion profit.
Well, see, America isn't part of the global warming agreement.
Mm-hmm.
It's not part of the Kyoto Treaty. So it can carry on producing as much industrial waste as it likes.
Well, okay, so let me get this picture about Greg Hallett. Here you are, an architect, okay?
Yeah.
And all right, so... You're a professional, and architecture is not an easy thing. You've got to have talent, education, and
way too difficult.
It's constantly needing innovation. I mean, you're constantly having to push yourself. I know that it's not something and nowadays you need to learn all kinds of exotic computer technology to render your designs.
Yeah,
and so. And here you are, you've kind of like muddied the waters down in New Zealand. In other words, you've named certain people as being pedophiles and KGB agents. And I have no doubt, after looking at the books and folks, the books. Hitler was a British agent. Stalin's British training, pedophiles at war, and how to take over the world. A right royal con with a picture of Hitler and the Queen of England on the cover. Then we have the picture of Stalin with Winston Churchill. Churchill laughing it up with good old boy Stalin. And then, of course, we have Hitler was a British agent, which was written with the Spymaster, a huge book, something like, 600 pages. And there's Greg. Greg's a handsome guy. There's a picture of him in the back. a guy that looks like you'd have the world by the tail if you wanted to.
It was basically taken off me. Like, I was doing really well. I was earning, 1998, I was earning about $175,000 a year, which is probably about $120,000 US.
Mm-hmm.
And I was having holiday for a month in the south of Spain. I was driving a reasonably good Merc and had a four-bedroom villa and a section and an architecture business. And I'd exposed Grant Aislaby, the head of the disputes tribunal, as a drug user in a disputes tribunal hearing in January 1994. And one of my closest relatives was his drug dealer. And thereafter,
so you knew it was the truth because you had.
I knew the guy. He was always around at our house drinking, and so I knew him.
Okay.
Then when I started to make money, and went for custody of my daughter, the lawyer for the child ended up being his business buddy, who found absolutely against me, and his business buddy was named Paul Gagan. And Paul Gagan used to ring me up and say, I'm going to make sure you don't see your child for another 6 months. And then I wouldn't see my child for another 6 months because, you usually get access every second weekend. And this went on for 7 years. And at the end of it, Paul Gagan nominated himself as a judge. No one else did. And because he had covered for Grant Aislaby's drug use, he became a judge, and now he's the family court judge in Rotorua. The announcement that he'd become a judge was on the 8th of January 2004. Mm-hmm. So now Paul Gagan is the principal supplier of children to pedophiles in Rotorua, which is an area absolutely notorious for pedophilia, especially pedophilia amongst Maori children, and especially British tourists having pedophile sex with Maori children. And Rotorua has been a centre of pedophilia since at least the 1880s.
So okay,
that's how
well,
it works.
That's...
So what happened then is they took my license off me, threw a whole lot of charges at me, which were all, I defended myself in the High Court, and I'd accused the, I found out that the police officer was a convicted criminal for assault, and the district court had lost the entire 4.5 hour transcript of the hearing, and the police had lost the entire transcript of the hearing. Plus, all the tapes of the hearing were missing. So when I went to the High Court, I won the case immediately. And I represented myself, and I turned up in shorts and a T-shirt with no notes.
Wow. Well, that looks like you haven't lost your sense of humor, Greg. I mean,
well,
they take
everything else. Like, they took my business, they took my income, they took my house. They took my child, they took my driver's license, which they took twice. They took I've lost three of my houses to it now. And it's just a criminal conspiracy that you're supposed to remain silent.
Is it because your ex-wife was one of them?
It's because you're supposed to remain quiet about heads of judicial departments' drug use, and in Grant Aislaby's case, we've found out that he's since had a series of mental breakdowns. Mm-hmm. And he had mental breakdowns before he became a head of the disputes tribunal, and during his entire time as the head of the disputes tribunal. So what you've got is the victimization of citizens in order to protect judicial corruption. And one of the things I've exposed recently is that Shan Elias, who's the Chief Justice, she stole over $500 million in 1989, and that was money that was due to the Chinese. China threatened to declare war on New Zealand, and then the Mossad stepped in and said, we can broker a deal. So the deal was that the Mossad would do any murders that Shan Elias wanted, and the Chinese would be allowed to immigrate into New Zealand, and Israel would take over the South Island. Now, in the Truth article, it says that China was taking over the South Island, but I didn't write the article. Israel's taking over the South Island, and China's taking over central Auckland and expanding over to the North Island.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the deal between the Mossad and China and Shan Elias was brokered in the early 90s, and then from 1995 on, we had what was called the Asian invasion, where we had enormous amounts of Asians immigrating into New Zealand. And a lot of them are really poor Asians, students, and they're not the pick of the bunch.
Mm-hmm.
And now 40% of central Auckland is Asian.
Mm.
So central Auckland has now become Chinatown.
Mm.
As a result of Shan Elias stealing over $500 million. And then after that, once she had done that, she was then promoted to Chief Justice.
Okay, so you're in a big war there. Greg, where is it going for you? Where are you?
Well, it got to the stage where, you know, in my architecture practice, that financially it wasn't viable because there was so much interference from the courts. Like, I couldn't win a case in court, and it's cost me hundreds of thousands of dollars in fees. So I filled in my spare time writing history. So now we know that Hitler was a British agent, Stalin was trained by the British, and how to take over the world.
So you've been Don Quixote all these years, in a sense.
What's Don Quixote?
Don Quixote. You've been, you've been going up against, little by little. You didn't know that it was a lot bigger than it was. So you went after a judge. You went after someone in politics. You went, slowly but surely, you learned that it was the entire world system and the conspiracy. It has led to wars, rumors of wars, the occult, all of it for all these years, and that most people, nod, nod, wink, wink, have sold out one way or another. And gosh, it's just an insane story. And now you've written encyclopedic works about the history of the world, rewriting history the real way, basically. Which I agree with you, by the way, writing it from the standpoint of shame and perversion and cover-ups and crime.
Yeah, if you don't mention sexual perversion in history, like, who's a homosexual, who's a lesbian, who's a pedophile, who's a drug user and who's an alcoholic, then you're not, and who is the illegitimate child of who, then you're not writing the causation of history. You're just recording the events.
Mm-hmm.
And behind the events are secret agreements. And because World War II finished in 1945, a lot of those secret agreements are coming out now. They're available on request.
So is there any hope for the world? What do you think is going to happen to all of us in the world now, as these people have been given carte blanche to do whatever the hell they want to do and have for a long time, but now it's all coming out? Do you feel that there'll be a revolution? Will their system collapse? Will the world collapse? What's going to happen, for example, to New Zealand?
Well, New Zealand is a test case for the rest of the world, and it's also the leapfrog point to Antarctica. Like, Israel has taken over, Israel took over Australia, Tasmania, and New Zealand on the agreement that the governments of those countries would disarm the population or populations. So Australia, Tasmania, and New Zealand have all been disarmed. And arms collectors, like military arms collectors, mm-hmm. have very recently, like in the last 2 months, been robbed and had all of their guns removed. And in December 2006, the Maori gangs had huge amounts of their arms removed. And history has shown that the populations are disarmed just before a tyrannical leadership comes into power.
Of course.
Or is already in power and is about to unleash their tyrannical act. And we have a government that is often referred to as femi-Nazis. Mm-hmm. We've got a lesbian government that is full of pedophile minders. The government will do absolutely anything to cover for its pedophiles. And they are absolute Nazis, and they're on an agenda. And they're constantly pushing through policy and making it law that the country is over 90% against. Mm-hmm. And they've done that repeatedly. So they've got an agenda, and they're using the government and the government systems and the legal systems to push it through when no one in New Zealand wants it. And on top of that, they're rigging elections. Like, Helen Clark is not the Prime Minister. The election was rigged. And it was also financially rigged. So she is another George W. Bush when it comes to being the Prime Minister or President.
The books Greg Hallett has written are, and he's written them with the co-writer of The Spy Master, who remains unidentified, according to this article here. But the books are How to Take Over the World, A Right Royal Con, Stalin's British Training, Pedophiles at War, Hitler Was a British Agent, and Are You My Father, The Family Court, and Other Experiments. And your books are in 24 countries, you report. And nobody has taken you to task. No one has taken you to court over the allegations.
No. Like, when I got all of page one and all of page five in the Truth Weekly,
yes,
I was expecting media from New Zealand or around the world to contact me, and I was expecting police and CIB at my door, and I was expecting lawyers suing me, etc., etc. And nothing. No one contacted me, and no one contacted the Truth newspaper. There has been no argument against the accusations, and I haven't been questioned at all. And what happens in New Zealand? New Zealand has a peculiar type of censorship, which is to ignore. And when you get close to the truth in New Zealand, you are just downgraded in society as though what you have accurately stated should have no weight. So in the next Truth newspaper, the week after, they had a picture of Helen Clark on the front cover smiling.
Ah. Well, you have a picture of her here looking quite disturbed. And now let me, and is that, it's not Hitler, it's Chaplin, right, next to Helen Clark? Is that Charlie Chaplin or Adolf Hitler?
No, that's Hitler.
Oh, Hitler. Well,
so on the top left is Hitler, and the next one to the right is Helen Clark.
But why did Charlie Chaplin copy Hitler in terms of his style?
Well,
I'm just kidding. Why did Hitler copy Charlie Chaplin?
Well, they were born within 4 days of each other. Chaplin was born in Lambeth. And they had a hell of a lot in common. Like, they had confused lineage. They're uncertain of who their fathers were, etc., etc. Mm-hmm. And Chaplin was the comical face of war, so he was there to ensure that the Allies would not take the war or Hitler seriously. But Chaplin was an MI6 agent.
Right. Well,
he was originally from Britain. He was MI6.
I'm not surprised, and I'm not surprised at the dark life that he led. Now, in terms of Helen Clark, you made a statement last time you were here that we led right up to the end that the Tibetan monks were trying to ensure or to craft Hitler's reincarnation. Now, I don't necessarily believe in reincarnation, but I'm willing to at least talk about what they intended to do. And so could you explain just a little bit about that? And you know, you said that you know who the reincarnation of Adolf Hitler is. Now, if you don't want to say, that's fine. But I just want to know a little bit more about.
Well, I was going to bring it out in a later book, and my view on reincarnation is that 50% of the population believes in it, and 50% doesn't, and I'm with the 50%. I'm with the 50%.
Which 50%?
Exactly.
Okay, so it's you're what we might call an agnostic.
No, I'm not agnostic. I'm just saying that I don't necessarily believe in it. But Hitler did.
Okay.
Hitler believed in reincarnation, and he had 1,000 green-gloved monks working with him in Berlin, trying to engineer his reincarnation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've heard that the Rothschilds supposedly practice reincarnation. So I interviewed some high-profile people on reincarnation. I interviewed the Dalai Lama's doctor's doctor.
Okay.
And also a West European who was a high-ranking scientist in Russia. And I got the two of them together, and we sort of spoke about it, and they gave me their views.
Mm-hmm.
And I did some study on it for quite a while just to see whether it was true and how it worked, if it could possibly work. And it basically works on the large and the small events. Now, one of the interesting things about Hitler was that he was working for these 1,000 green-gloved monks in Berlin, and then he faked his death on the 30th of April 1945
mm-hmm.
in Berlin. And a body double was found in the bunker, and five other body doubles were found on top of the bunker. Now, there was Operation James Bond to get Martin Bormann out of Berlin,
mm-hmm.
and that happened about 20 hours before Hitler's escape out of Berlin. The people getting Martin Bormann out of Berlin were Ian Fleming and Chris Crichton. When they were in Berlin, Ian Fleming was called away by MI6 to go on to another operation, and he was picked up on a speedboat and travelled up the River Spree to Lake Mugglesea with Carolyn Saunders. And there, once Hitler had faked his death, he got out through the vaults under the River Spree. Now, the top vault in the River Spree was locked, and it was being used as a Red Cross hospital, and Hitler ordered the locks opened, and the Red Cross hospital flooded,
mm-hmm.
and then the lower lock was opened, and all the bodies were let out down the River Spree, so there are hundreds of bodies floating down the River Spree. And under cover of that, Hitler got in through the locks and then into a WK-202 half-size submarine, which is 36.5 meters long.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't use any lights or any sonar on the submarine. They were lit, their way was lit by flares. At the same time, the Russians were taking over Berlin. This was on the 1st of May. And Hitler got into the submarine at about 5 minutes to midnight on the 30th of April 1945,
mm-hmm.
and travelled down the River Spree. And because of the flares going off and the submarine was three-tone grey as cover to look like a shadow, the submarine actually looked yellow, hence the Beatles song Yellow Submarine. And they got down to Lake Havel, and they holed up there for about a day and a half, and then they were picked up by Hannah Reich in a Junkers JU-3M-5214GE, which is essentially a hot rod plane. It was a corrugated iron plane that had armor plating for the pilot and extra guns and a typewriter. And they flew for about 15 minutes from Lake Havel, which is in southwest Berlin, over to Lake Mugglesee in northeast Berlin, where they were met by Ian Fleming and Carolyn Saunders. And then Hitler gave Ian Fleming a series of documents which were complete and partial Swiss bank account numbers. And then they, the four of them got on the boat and then beached the boat on the shores of Lake Mugglesee and got into a Westland Lysander 3A plane flown by Hugh Verity. And the Westland Lysander planes, the cockpits in the front and the passenger cabin is separate and it seats six. And then they were flown to Barcelona and met by Raymond Serrano Suna, who was the former 2IC of General Franco. And then Hitler lived in Spain, and he died in Spain on the 19th of February, 1950.
Okay, so he had his life, and of course, he tried to engineer his reincarnation, but there's plenty of people, I would say, that are the offspring of Hitler in the world today, wouldn't you, in a sense, and just in a spiritual sense? There's plenty of evil people around today. Now, this also is an indictment against Britain, against MI6, against MI5, against the FBI, against the CIA, against, you know, which wasn't really formed at that time, I understand, but or the OSI or whatever you want to call
OSS.
It.
OSS before the CIA.
Right, the OSS. Okay, yeah. All of this goes to a certain... And then, of course, that goes back to Skull and Bones. That goes back to the Russell Trust. That goes back to financing Hitler. Here we are on the one hand financing Hitler, on the other hand jumping into the war. Everybody's a double agent. The whole thing is a fiasco. And somehow the public at large believes that all of this, in a singular view of history, where the good guys fight the bad and the good won and everyone's happy.
There's a couple of things that I should mention, though, that... on the 19th of May 1950, like Hitler died in Spain.
Yeah.
19th of February 1950. On the 19th of May 1950, New Zealand was renamed New Spain. Spain means gateway, and New Zealand is the gateway to Antarctica.
Okay, so then that plays very heavily with the Nazis and now the Russians.
Yeah, specifically the airports in and around Christchurch. Mm-hmm. Are used as leaping points to Antarctica. So the flights will go from Tasmania to Christchurch to Antarctica.
So is it possible
it's so important for Israel to take over Tasmania, okay, and take over the South Island of New Zealand. And there are Mossad agents all over the South Island. You even go onto the walking tracks. And there's a disproportionate number of Israelis on the walking tracks in the South Island. And I even got an email from a guy in Australia saying how many Israelis he'd met when he was doing the tramps in the South Island.
Wow.
And the Israelis on the tramps in the South Island, they're like five-day tramps. Some of them were absolutely not dressed for tramping or walking.
Mm-hmm.
They were just there in the middle of the South Island.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll get into that next time. I'd love to talk to you about Antarctica. We may, like I say, if we come down to do an interview with you live down in New Zealand, I can expect that I'm not going to expect a big welcome, okay? but it's okay because I'm used to that here. I mean, you know, I haven't exactly been... I guess we're bad people, aren't we, Greg? Because we talk about the truth and about honor and about, you know, being honest and honorable and doing the right thing and not putting people in jeopardy, not stealing from them. And, of course, that makes us the bad guy, because if we would just go along, heck, you and I could have a pretty good life because we have skills, you know?
Yeah. Well, societies supposedly operate really well on 20% corruption. And in New Zealand, we have... an absolute plethora of white-collar crime.
Okay.
And we have, New Zealand currently has the most corrupt government in New Zealand's history and possibly one of the most corrupt governments in the world. The New Zealand government is trafficking Afghan heroin. Mm-hmm. It is protecting, minding, and promoting pedophiles. The highest-ranking people in New Zealand are married to pedophiles and child sex abusers. The Prime Minister is an absolutely rampant lesbian. She's a KGB agent. Her code name is E, which is spelled I-E. And the KGB agents were named after, were named in Arabic, because it's such a hard language to translate. And E in Arabic means island, and it refers to the island of Lesbos and New Zealand being two islands.
God, that's amazing. All right, Greg Hallett, the income. We're out of time right now, but okay. We'll have to take it on another installment. Greg, don't go anywhere. Stay right there, and Trish will get you. Thank you, Trish. Look, what can I say? It's obviously there's an awful lot for you to digest here. I don't expect you to fully. Well, you're going to have to do your own research and corroborate what you can, but he is very straightforward. I can tell you this. His books are brilliant. And there, I find no guile in him. Do you understand? No guile. I see no reason for Greg Hallett to lie and every reason for him to be interviewed, scrutinized, his material to be scrutinized, ripped apart, and the truth should be found on this, because if what he is saying is true. And then, of course, comes my question, how do we live? It's all stacked against us, or else we're in the right position. I say we're in the right position because, thank God, you don't owe anything to them. Hey, aren't you glad now you're not one of them? Those of you who wanted money and power and all that stuff, aren't you glad? Yeah, your soul is more precious than that, my friends. Stay right there. You'll be hearing this on Spirit Talk, but there's one more broadcast left to go. It'll be my assessment of all this. I'll be doing a talk tomorrow. All that will be rebroadcast on Spirit Talk Sunday because, to be honest with you, I won't be here on that day. But this week, you people on the internet, you've got it already. You can write us, if you will, at 5 Bisbee Court, 109, Box 16. That's 5 Bisbee Court, 109, Box 16, Santa Fe, New Mexico, 87508. And we'd love to get your correspondence, even if you can just drop us a line. Go to zefnet.com or zefdaniel.blogspot.com. If you don't go to zefdaniel.blogspot.com, you won't be able to weigh in on the articles. That's a good place for you to weigh in and make comments, if you like, that would be public. And, yes, I do moderate them because, you know, obviously there has to be some kind of a filter or else it would just be, you know, people putting up lingerie ads and things like that. And who knows, you know, people are childish, you know. Trust anyone? No, I don't trust anyone. You know, I've got, I see the flesh as being weak, the human heart as being deceitfully wicked, but those people that I dearly love and who love me, I'm very grateful for. I probably have more friends, and those in our walk have more friends than most people in the world. They say you're lucky if you can count five. Well, I've got a good deal more than that. And so do you. And you've got me as your friend, too, if you're on this path. No worries, okay? Just let's keep going forward. And please pray for Greg. And Greg has done a marvelous, heroic job here standing up to the corrupt bastards down there. And but they're no different than the bastards here and the bastards anywhere. All right, see you next time. Zef Daniel, over and out. Mein Führer, I can walk.